We got breaking news. Supreme Court orders CNN to respond to the ACLJ.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Packed show today. Jordan's in studio. Will's in studio. We got CeCe Heil joining us a little bit later. My dad's going to be calling us. It's going to be really jam-packed, but if you want to be on the air, you can at 1-800-684-3110. We got breaking ACLJ news. Maybe we'll have Jordan actually break. Tell us what's happening here. This is, of course, in our connection with CNN and our Supreme Court case.
That's right. So we have got a case at the U.S. Supreme Court right now. I've asked the Supreme Court to take. This case is about New York Times versus Sullivan, which is defamation of public figures. And you know, the definition of public figures has certainly changed with social media. Basically, everybody can be a reporter. Everybody's putting videos up. So the definition of it versus the time when that case came out, very different. But the idea is that if you are considered a public figure, the news doesn't just have to make a misstatement or lie or get the facts wrong about you to file a lawsuit for defamation. You have to actually prove, as the person who was injured, that you have to prove that you were, it was actual malice by the media organization, which is a very high standard. So it's like they knew it was wrong and they were doing it because they wanted to hurt you. So that standard, of course, gets into the, you have to get into the minds of people, and the burden is on the person who they lied about. The burden is not on the CNN to show that it wasn't actual malice. Somehow you, the public figure, have to show that there was actual malice, which means getting inside a newsroom, getting inside the heads and intent. And so as the world has changed and as the media has changed so rapidly with podcasts and all these issues, I mean, almost everybody could fall under the line of so many new people, not everybody, but so many people could fall under this public figure. And then if someone says horrendous things about you, you have no legal recourse if you can't prove actual malice. So this case challenges that standard. And this is what happened. When we filed, CNN waived their right to reply to our application, for the court, the cert petition for the court to take the case. That was because they were hoping the court would just take ours and then say, okay, we're not, you know, they take it to conference just with ours, and that means likely not hear the case.
Right, throw it out.
The Supreme Court yesterday gave CNN a deadline to reply. So even though they waived their reply, they are now being asked by the Supreme Court to reply to our brief, which means it's not 100% the Supreme Court will take the case, but this is exactly what CNN did not want to happen. So their strategy was, we're not even going to respond. We'll let the court just handle this. And the court has now handled it by saying, we want your response within a month.
Yeah, this is a good moment.
Well, exactly. And when you looked at the decisions by the lower courts that got it up to this level, many of them ruled in favor with CNN because of the New York Times v. Sullivan reasoning, even with judges at the appeals court level saying, under all standards, this is defamation. However, because of New York Times v. Sullivan, we cannot find that there was defamation here. So even that, the lower courts push it up to that Supreme Court question of, is the New York Times v. Sullivan standard even still relevant in its form as it is? And that's exactly why we're going to the Supreme Court with it.
That's right. Next segment, my dad, Jay Sekulow, is going to be joining us. I think he's going to break down a little bit more of this. Because you cannot imagine how many times I've been reached out to by one of those quote-unquote public figures who feel like their name is being dragged through the mud for things that they never did over and over again. And sadly, we've had to tell them there's really not much we can do because this is how the standard has been. This is the standard in America. Well, we want to be a part of changing that. And you can too. Protect yourself, protect your friends and family. Go to ACLJ.org right now. We've got a petition about it right now. ACLJ.org/sign. Be a part of it. Together we can hold the mainstream media accountable for the lies, smears, and attacks for anyone. Not just the left, not just the right, not just conservatives and Christians, atheists, whoever. At this point, we know the rules need to be changed, and they should be. Go to ACLJ.org, take action today, get your name on that petition. We'll be right back with Jay Sekulo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome to the all-new ACLJ app. Expert analysis and insight big tech can't censor. Customize your news and get real-time alerts on the issues you care about. Advocacy is now at your fingertips. Take action, make a difference. Support the causes you care about with just one tap. Be the first to know. Breaking news alerts sent straight to your inbox. Everything you need, all in one place. Stay informed, stay empowered. Download today.
We are so excited to announce the ACLJ's brand new app, completely redesigned to provide you with the best tools available to partner with us at the ACLJ. You can watch the daily Seculo program, sign the petitions, customize your ACLJ membership experience, donate with the click of a button, and receive up-to-the-minute critical updates that the mainstream media can't censor. Just scan the QR code on your screen or go to your phone's app store, search ACLJ, and click install. It's that simple.
Welcome back to Seculo. Our dad, Jay Seculo, is joining us right now. Of course, this has been a big update. If you're just joining us on the broadcast, thank you for watching. Of course, the Supreme Court now is ordering CNN to respond and respond to essentially our suit, saying, you know, at this point, what considered a public figure, when you have been told lies continually over and over again, proven lies, that there needs to be some better standard of accountability. And Dad, this is a big moment because CNN has been told you can't just ignore this. You have to respond.
Yeah, so it's interesting. CNN's strategy was, when we filed the cert petition, you don't have to respond to a petition filed at the Supreme Court. It's not required. So they took the strategy of, we filed our cert petition. That is a formal request, probably 80 pages of briefing, asking the Supreme Court to hear the case. Then the other side can file a response or they can waive a response. Here, they waived their response, thinking that that was going to maybe be the end of the case. Well, we just got word late yesterday, and this is a huge development on a very strategic and important case. We got word yesterday that the Supreme Court of the United States has ordered CNN to file a response in writing by the end of March. So they've got to file in about 4 to 6 weeks. The importance of this is then we will have the opportunity to respond again to CNN for the lies that they told about Professor Dershowitz. And just let me tell our ACLJ members and our ACLJ champions and those listening to the broadcast, remember what this case is about. Alan Dershowitz, who's a Democrat, was one of our defense attorneys at the impeachment trial, the first one, of Donald Trump. He was one of my co-counsels. We brought him into the case. He handled specific constitutional issues, very specific, saying that there was no grounds to impeach the sitting president of the United States during that proceeding. He got a lot of flack from the left on that, as you can imagine. But what happened was, CNN went on air as soon as he was done with his first presentation and misstated his main thesis of the case. In fact, they said he said the opposite. So under the New York Times versus Sullivan, when you're dealing with a public figure, they basically had, as you said, Logan, blanket immunity. They could say whatever they want. You had the standard that we would have to reach to prove defamation is very, very high. But what's interesting here is one of the judges at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals said that the only thing standing in the way from Professor Dershowitz and justice is this old 1964 Supreme Court case, which actually talked about public officials, like government officials. It didn't even really talk about public figures. You want to know an interesting side note here, Logan and Will, and that is Alan Dershowitz was a law clerk for Justice Goldberg in writing a concurring opinion on that very case, and it was taken way further than what that initial Supreme Court decision meant. So this is a chance to right a wrong and to reflect the media as it now is.
And once again, this is obviously a completely different media landscape than it was when that original Supreme Court opinion was issued. And as even it shows that the person bringing this, Professor Dershowitz, was one of the people that helped craft the concurring opinion in that issue. But I think also we can't normally forecast or tell what the Supreme Court's going to do. It's very mysterious to the outside, the way that they hold their conferences, which cases they decide to take and which they decide not to. But it does seem that this is at least a good sign that there are justices interested in reviewing New York Times v. Sullivan, that when we filed our cert petition and CNN decided we're not even going to bother replying, that now the Supreme Court wants to hear what CNN has to say to defend itself.
Yeah, it's interesting because generally when the strategy of not responding, which is what they initially did, was also to kind of get a temperature read of is the court interested in this or not. For instance, we were set for a conference to vote on certiorari on Thursday, tomorrow. They were to vote tomorrow on the case, whether they were going to hear it or not. But what happened here was CNN was hoping that there would be no order. It would go to conference and be denied. But instead, a number of justices of the Supreme Court said, no, we want to hear what CNN has to say, and then we'll decide if we take it. So it's going to delay it until probably April, maybe even May. We'll file another round of briefs in this. But this is a really significant case for accountability in the media and long overdue.
When you go back to 1964, when this case came out, Dad, and you look now to 2026, who is a public figure has changed so much. I mean, it's not just a handful of people who make it on three TV channels or are well-known in local news or newspapers. And it's there's so many citizen journalists and podcasts and people in the media and the Netflix, all these different ways. It's not the same kind of control. So that it makes it nearly impossible for anyone who's got any kind of name out there and following to bring a defamation case where someone has absolutely either lied about you or just recklessly disregarded. That means you don't care if it's a lie or not, to show that actual malice standard. But you, the plaintiff, it's also a bizarre move in court, have to prove the intent of the defendant in this case. I mean, you have to show what was going on in their head or in their newsroom as they were putting the piece together. They don't have to defend it. You have to actually present it, which also makes it almost an impossible bar to overcome. So, and this is, I think, in the changing media landscape, the perfect time for the Supreme Court to look at this to say, you know, this might not be the right standard anymore for 2026 and onward.
Well, I think, Jordan, that's exactly right. You had a dual burden here, which you don't have in any other kind of case. So this, you had this dual burden where you had to meet the threshold of knowledge of falsity, and then the burden was on us to establish the issues rather than the defendant having to establish their defense. But look, the fact that the Supreme Court said we want to hear from you on this is a big development. It's a very positive development for justice here. Alan Dershowitz was wronged. We want to make it right. That's why we're stepping in and hold the media accountable. We get so many calls where people say we want to hold the media accountable. This is that case.
And Dan, we have two now cases pending at the U.S. Supreme Court, one out of Calvary Chapel in California, and those unbelievable fines that California, millions of dollars of fines, they want to still levy the state of California against the church, the Calvary Chapel church there. And, of course, this case, and we're both before the U.S. Supreme Court, the ACLJ handling those. I just want to remind people, I mean, these are happening nearly simultaneously, Dad.
No, they are. And so we've got two major cases, one on religious liberty, one on the First Amendment. And, I mean, these are big cases. I mean, some of the biggest cases, frankly, we've held in that situation in California. place from the church to pay a fine on a policy that was left.
I think we're losing you. We'll try to reconnect here in just a moment.
Yeah, but I mean, I think just to underscore to people, so we've got two up for consideration at the Supreme Court right now, both involving speech, one involving, again, religious liberty, but both kind of First Amendment cases, because, of course, the free exercise of religion, free speech, and we've got the defamation issue, too. Is my dad back on? Dad's back on. So, Dad, I mean, this is a very busy time of the ACLJ, and that doesn't account for all the trials we've got going on at the district court level, and, of course, the appeals court cases we've got going on, too.
I want to encourage our ACLJ friends and members, and especially our ACLJ champions, support the work of the ACLJ. You've got two great examples here. The church case, the case against CNN, it happens because of your support to the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org and join our team. Very important that you stand with us.
That's right. We have a petition right now, and we can hold the mainstream media accountable at aclj.org/sign. Because look, as Jordan said, so many of us have gone from what you'd consider, you know, radio personalities to television personalities to now anyone really can kind of fit in that world of being a public figure as we are all on social media. So this protects you as well. Of course, this is doing it from the mainstream point of view, but there are many different ways that this could upend current settled law that has been a pain for all of us for many, many years, including, like I said, there are so many people who had rightful claims to this, who have reached out to us over the years, and we've had to have that very kind of sad and serious conversation with them saying, sadly, there is nothing we can do. You're a public figure. The actual standard to get any kind of libel defamation was so high that essentially we knew you could just go out there and lie. But you have a different court, it's a different day.
Well, it's when you look at a lot of the stories that are going on in the world right now, even with Don Lemon, with the protections that he's trying to claim, the heightened protections because of being a journalist. It is something that for a long time, the media has gotten an extra level of protection than what the First Amendment just affords to everyone else. So I think it's important that something like New York Times v. Sullivan be re-examined by the court. And that's exactly what we're doing here.
That's right. You can be a part of it today. You can join with us. Go to aclj.org again. Take action. Add your name to that petition at aclj.org. Look at all the incredible, great content. We have a little bit different coming up in the next segment. CeCe Heil, one of our senior attorneys at the ACLJ, is going to be joining us. Talk to you about a new project that's going to be leading into the midterm elections and how you can get involved in that as well. Then later on in the broadcast, we're going to keep breaking this down as well as take calls and comments. And we're going to discuss a little bit about CBS and Stephen Colbert and that whole situation and get our take on that. We want to hear from you, though, first. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the all-new ACLJ app. Expert analysis and insight big tech can't censor. Customize your news and get real-time alerts on the issues you care about. Advocacy is now at your fingertips. Take action. Make a difference. Support the causes you care about with just one tap. Be the first to know. Breaking news alerts sent straight to your inbox. Everything you need, all in one place. Stay informed, stay empowered, download today.
We are so excited to announce the ACLJ's brand new app, completely redesigned to provide you with the best tools available to partner with us at the ACLJ. You can watch the daily Secular program, sign the petitions, customize your ACLJ membership experience, donate with the click of a button, and receive up-to-the-minute critical updates that the mainstream media can't censor. Just scan the QR code on your screen or go to your phone's app store, search ACLJ, and click install. It's that simple.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take your calls, so go ahead and get in line. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk about a lot of different topics. Of course, Supreme Court ordering CNN to respond to the ACLJ. But I did want to kind of take a detour here and talk a bit more about some really interesting things. We always try to provide different opportunities for you to get involved. And CC, this is a really different one. This will be heading into the midterm elections, and some of our friends in the ACLJ is joining with them.
Right. And so, you know, our listeners know that the ACLJ, we are fighters. We are in the fight. We're engaged. You know, we are taking action all the time. But we don't lose sight of the fact that our greatest tool that we have is prayer. And so we have joined with the Nehemiah Alliance for a 52-day prayer initiative to basically pray for the protection and blessing of the Lord around our nation and to rebuild our walls. And it follows Nehemiah, if you're familiar with that story. The walls of Jerusalem were destroyed, and Nehemiah decided that that had really left the city vulnerable for attacks from the enemy and really symbolized spiritual ruin. And so he wanted to rebuild those walls and bring unity to the people and protection to those people. And he did it in 52 days through prayer and fasting and the blessing of the Lord, obviously. Also, the blessing of the government and with the engagement of the people. And so we believe, you know, it's the 250th anniversary, as you said, of our founding on Judeo-Christian values. And we look around and we see that our walls really have crumbled. And we need that unity and we need that blessing and we need that protection. So the Nehemiah Alliance follows 52 days of prayer. It's going to start on September 10th. And it's going to go to November 1st, 52 days right before the critical midterm elections. And really, we're just saying to pray for your family. So right around your walls, your family, your community, your state, and your nation. And then it's going to be a unified prayer that everybody prays together. And that is really modeled after General Patton, who in World War II, we were losing the battle because of the rain. He couldn't get his troops on the ground, tanks moved because the rain was crazy. So he had all of the soldiers, all of them, pray a unified prayer every single day, and the rain stopped. They prayed for the rain to stop and for victory. And you know the story, the rain stopped, and of course we had victory in World War II. So that's the pattern. Everybody who signs up will be praying a unified prayer for 52 days. And you sign up at na52.org, and you just sign to really just be a part of the prayer team. And then you're going to pray for the 52 days, fast for 3 days, and that's after Esther, and repent of our sins like Daniel. And then on October 31st, gather at the National Mall as a unified people, as one nation under God.
Well, CC, this is something, obviously, the ACLJ, you mentioned we are fighters, but we also are a Christian organization. We believe in the power of prayer. That's why we periodically have prayer guides that people can go through and be praying together. This whole concept of unified prayer is something that we firmly believe in here. And so this is a broader approach. It's not just with ACLJ. It's with the Nehemiah Alliance and many other great organizations that have joined onto this as well. But also there's a move to get even congressional recognition of this. And I wanted you to speak to that because it's part of what we here at the ACLJ can do as well with our government affairs team and all of the things that we have in D.C., of getting this this broader, not just as a grassroots movement, but also for people to recognize within the halls of Congress that this is important as well.
And that was one of the things. It was governmental blessing that Nehemiah did this. So that was a critical point of this. And the ACLJ was absolutely critical in getting our first congressional commendation, and that's from Senator Blackburn right here in Tennessee. And she did a commendation for the Nehemiah Alliance and got it entered into the congressional record. There are more coming from Congress that our governmental affairs team is working on. More commendations coming from Congress. There will be more coming from governors, from a lot of the states, from state legislators. So we really want to encourage state governments to get involved, you know, state leaders to step up. And we definitely have the blessing of our government, and hopefully we'll have the blessing of President Trump as well.
I think this is a great thing for our, you know, organization to get involved in, also you individually. Of course, today we thought it'd be good to bring it up. This is still months away until it begins, but today, of course, is for a lot of our listeners, a lot of our viewers, this is Ash Wednesday. This is the beginning of the season, of Lent season, heading in, of course, to Easter. So we wanted to give you the opportunity to know there will be something similar in some ways where we'll be able to join in group prayer just in a few months leading in, like I said, those midterm elections. Of course, it's not only 250th, it'll be the 25th anniversary of September 11th, which is when this kicks off on the evening of September 10th. So a lot of people's minds and hearts will be on America during the next few months. And we want to give you an opportunity to get involved with this. Again, it's at na5252.org. Sign up today, and then you're reminded as time goes on, I'm sure, from the organization about what they're doing there. Because, like Will said, it's always good with the ACLJ to show you not only how we can get involved on the big level, Supreme Court, but, of course, how you can get involved. Of course, we encourage you to sign the petitions, do all those things. But really to join like-minded people in prayer in this moment. It's a great, easy way also. It's something you can share with your friends and say, hey, this is something we should get involved in.
Right. And if you sign up today, I know, again, it doesn't start, you're thinking it doesn't start till September 10th. But if you sign up today, you get the prayer today. You could start praying that prayer today. There are other things on the website. Like their Sonic Flood has their May Day song, which was written for the National Day of Prayer. So that's the theme song for this, 2 Chronicles 7:14. So there are kind of special things that you're going to get, videos that you're going to get, different things that you'll get if you sign up today. And you'll be involved throughout the whole process.
And of course, good plug for Sonic Flood.
I had to plug.
Which, if those don't know, I don't think we've ever said this.
People know why that's important.
Cece's husband Rick is the lead singer of Sonic Flood and has been doing that for decades. So great, obviously legendary Christian band and great worship music. So if you're looking for somewhere to turn, we always like to say there's always trusted sources. Definitely Rick and Sonic Flood is one of those. So you will get involved. It is sort of a family affair here at the Nehemiah Alliance event as we're all kind of coming together for this. I do think it's a great moment. I think it's a great time to again, get together, share. And I'm sure if there are things like you're going to be invited together on October 31st, if you can't, that's obviously not going to disqualify you from praying with all of us. So all of these are different ways.
There's also a component of that, that you can be a part of that and still pray with the group.
I just want to make sure people know this.
Also a good reminder, because in midterm elections, it's all about turnout, right? Yep. The turnout numbers are much lower than presidential elections.
You're talking lower, like 70%.
Right. So these kind of reminders, I mean, the prayer is serious, but it's also a reminder for those engaged in the prayer to be talking about it with their friends and family and those at their church, to make sure they know where they should go vote, or if they're going to be out of town, to request to maybe go early voting or an absentee ballot, to make sure, because this midterm election will determine the rest of the Trump presidency for history.
Yeah, the success or failure.
This will be the end. The final 2 years will be determined by what they can get done, what kind of Supreme Court nominees, if there's a vacancy, make it to the Supreme Court, will be determined by this midterm election, because you got 35 Senate seats up and every House seat up.
Yeah, and we know where things are trending right now. So
yes,
certainly,
it's interesting. Both the Democrat and Republican Party are in a tough spot right now. Yeah. So it could go either way. And we're still too far away. But right now, we just need to be reminding people, hey, don't forget about this is coming up sooner than you think once you get past the summer.
Yep, and that's we're going to discuss that even more in the second half hour of the show. If you don't get us on your local station, find us broadcasting live on ACLJ.org. However you get your podcasts, however you get your broadcasts, we are there, whether it's on the Salem News Channel, whether it's on YouTube, however you get your content, the ACLJ is there. Find us live every day, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course archived, again, wherever you get your podcasts, at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, second half hour coming up, and we're going to take a lot of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Some of you have been on hold for a while. We are discussing a few different topics. Of course, CNN has been responding to the ACLJ, the Supreme Court. Supreme Court has ordered them to respond in our case, saying, you know, essentially the case idea is that the standard of what has been set for what a public figure is and what, you know, libel is and what you can do in terms of protecting yourself from the endless lies that get spewed on mainstream media, the standard has been so high that it's almost been impossible. Now, the court's going to take a look at it, is what we hope. Take a look at what it would be, because a lot of you watching this right now would probably now be considered public figures. I do want to take a phone call really quick off the top, because we got a lot of calls coming in on a lot of different issues. But I want to go to Robert in Maryland, always good caller. You've been a hold for half an hour. Let's go ahead and take care of you. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I wanted to ask all of you, in Israel's attack on Iran just within this past week, have they destroyed any of the nuclear sites in Iran?
So, Robert, what we're hearing, and nothing official, that there have been targeting from Israel on nuclear sites, but there it is seeming to ratchet closer to war again between Israel and Iran, as well as you have all the threats from the Ayatollah against the United States and the statements by President Trump. So nothing that I've seen that I'd be comfortable reporting at this time, but I think that these next few weeks are going to be very interesting to watch and see how they unfold. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Robert. We're going to obviously stay really close, pay attention to what's going on in Iran. I know when a lot of mainstream media will not be covering it because it is not the number one and only story. For some reason, they've decided will be the story of the week. We know it could get lost in the shuffle. We'll make sure we keep you updated as well. Let's go ahead and let's take one more call. Let's go to Steve in Oregon. Steve, go ahead.
Hello. First time, so I don't know if I'm audible. Are we working?
You sound great, Steve. Go ahead.
Okay. My main concern is the rampant and overwhelming lies that are being told by everyone from politicians to private entrepreneurs on the internet trying to make a buck. It's rampant. It's overwhelming. And a couple months ago, I almost got sick for almost $600 by a commercial online that was AI generated.
Oh yeah, well, and, I mean that, Steve. It's a whole other story of having to deal with people who are definitely out there frauding and using a lot of known entities and faces. There's going to be a lot of lawsuits coming up over that. A lot of it's not happening inside of our country, so that is one of the big concerns. But we can actually start looking at what it would be to protect our own within our own. So whether you're an American citizen and you have another Americans or news organizations who've decided that you are now the target of them and they don't care what they say, they don't care what the lies are, and now we can maybe broaden, Jordan, that definition of what not only a public figure is, but what continual defamation is. Because sometimes it gets to the point where people like Steve watch this and go, I'm just sick of watching everyone lie, because we know they're only doing it to get clicks, to get views, to get people to watch, and they even know it themselves that is untrue.
Well, and take away this ridiculous standard of having the plaintiff, so the person who was lied about, and even in our case, the lower court judge in the appellate court said this was defamation, but the bar here was that you couldn't show the actual malice. And to show that actual malice as the plaintiff is very difficult, because then you have to get into the mind to show that they either lied about you on purpose or they just recklessly disregarded the truth. They didn't care if it was true or not. They were going to put this statement out. And that's what we need to change in the United States of America, as more and more people qualify for being public officials or a public person because of social media. You want that protection so that someone cannot destroy your credibility just and hide behind the fact that they are a major news source, so somehow they can say whatever they want about you, and it's very difficult to ever hold them accountable.
That's right. Look, we're taking your calls and comments on this. I know a lot of you have that, as well as you may have seen news bubbling up about Stephen Colbert and his ongoing battle with his own network with CBS. We're going to discuss that. As broadcasters who've been dealing with similar rules and conversations, we're going to discuss that coming up here in the next segment. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome to the all-new ACLJ app. Expert analysis and insight big tech can't censor. Customize your news and get real-time alerts on the issues you care about. Advocacy is now at your fingertips. Take action, make a difference. Support the causes you care about with just one tap. Be the first to know. Breaking news alerts sent straight to your inbox. Everything you need, all in one place. Stay informed, stay empowered, download today.
We are so excited to announce the ACLJ's brand new app, completely redesigned to provide you with the best tools available to partner with us at the ACLJ. You can watch the daily secular program, sign the petitions, customize your ACLJ membership experience, donate with the click of a button, and receive up-to-the-minute critical updates that the mainstream media can't censor. Just scan the QR code on your screen or go to your phone's app store, search ACLJ, and click install. It's that simple.
Seculo, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Look, I think we should give this a little bit of attention, but maybe not as much as some of the mainstream media is giving attention, because I think that's precisely what they want. Look, we have been on the air, terrestrial radio, for 30 years now here at Seculo. In some form of fashion, we have been on the air, terrestrial radio, for 30 years, and we have always understood that there are very specific rules the FCC lays out when you have a political candidate on. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that I agree with those rules. I'm not necessarily saying that they should be held up in 2026. But you know what? They've been the rules. They have been the law of the land for a very long time at this point. And we know what we have to do. Typically, it involves, by the way, because people know what our show content is, all it typically is say we have on a political candidate. A lot of times, they're more conservative-leaning. We also shoot off an email to their rep on the other side and say, or the other candidate and say, we'd be happy to have you on as well. 9 times out of 10. Actually, I'd put 99.9% of the time, you either never hear back or you get a decline. Because it's usually someone who knows what they're getting into.
You basically just have to make the invitation.
And
usually, like Logan said, they are not ever going to say yes to that because you're not promising it's going to be a friendly interview, or you're not going to ask tough questions. No. They know that you're coming from a different perspective there, but you have to give them that opportunity. And that's only around, really, when you're talking to people running for office, when you're talking about them running for office and their election, not talking to a senator about a piece of legislation and things like that. So it's a limited time that we're talking about. So when we're talking about when they're actually running for office, you've got to at least offer that time to the other candidates. That's all the Colbert Show had to do, is offer that time to other candidates. They don't have to treat them the same in the sense that they could ask tough questions. They could say, you said this. Are you sure you'd be the best nominee? And to a Republican, Colbert could be nasty too. And likely, you know, both of them would say no. Maybe in this case, one of them would have said yes.
Because we're still in primary season.
Yes.
And I think that's where things get a little actually more interesting with this story, is you have a candidate running in Texas. You have two candidates running. And Stephen Colbert went out and said, CBS told me I couldn't air this. This is the interview they told you they didn't want to see. This is not unlike what Don Lemon was doing. These are publicity stunts. Do not fall for the publicity stunts. No. Stephen Colbert has been very well aware of the rules that you have to go by. CBS gave him what we'd have to do to have this guest on, which was essentially invite Jasmine Crockett on as well, which seemed to be too far for Stephen Colbert.
That's right. And I want to read the statement that CBS put out. But I think this also ties in to the New York Times v. Sullivan thing that we were talking about earlier, the case that we have at the Supreme Court, because this is dealing with very old broadcast rules, the FCC equal time rule, which we have criticized things like this with the FCC historically.
I'm not saying
that it's not an outdated rule, but it also shows that he was gaming it for his own gain. And this is what the Late Show, the statement from CBS said about the Late Show. They were not prohibited by CBS from broadcasting the interview with Representative James Tallarico. The show was provided legal guidance that the broadcast could trigger the FCC equal time rule for two other candidates, including Representative Jasmine Crockett, and presented options for how the equal time for other candidates could be fulfilled, which is what legal departments do every single day at broadcast news organizations.
I mean, not even just broadcast. Every major mainstream television network, entertainment brand, I've been in the guts of them. The messages that you would get from standards and practices, from lawyers, they approve every script that goes out for the most part on all of these shows. And they don't approve it for creative content. They're not getting involved in saying, I think that joke isn't funny. What they're saying is, that goes over the line on what is legal for the FCC or when you're marketing to families or whatever it may be. There are rules.
So then it says the Late Show decided to present the interview through its YouTube channel with on-air promotion on the broadcast rather than potentially providing equal time options. Also, you know this was a game because at this point, it has 5.8 million views, this interview, which is titled James Tallarico on Confronting Christian Nationalism and Strange Days in the Texas Legislature. He did this whole game to play the victim card so that they could get more views on it. Because you know what they weren't probably going to get? 5.8 million views of that interview on Colbert's show. So they are using this to look like a victim again. Maybe there's other ulterior motives as well. But then they're lying. Because James Tallarico, this candidate, has tweeted two things that are factually untrue. Breaking, our campaign raised $2.5 million in 24 hours after the FCC banned our Colbert interview. And two, this is the interview Donald Trump didn't want you to see. His FCC refused to air my interview with Stephen Colbert. Trump is worried we're about to flip Texas. The FCC didn't ban the interview. The FCC, if it had triggered equal time things, could have fined CBS, but it wouldn't have the power to take it off air. CBS's legal department presented options of how to air it, and they decided it wasn't worth giving Jasmine Crockett the airtime. So maybe it's actually James Tallarico is concerned he's not going to be able to survive this primary without a little help from someone like Colbert violating FCC rules.
Yeah, and Colbert at this point, you know, is months away from his show ending. He is trying to build his own clout and credibility. I'm sure fielding offers from a lot of different organizations of where he's going to land after this. If not, he doesn't just build something on his own. That is simply in the cards. Look at it from a bigger marketing perspective. Everything is marketing, and they are all trying to get you to watch this interview. Why? One, to generate views, to give Stephen Colbert a little bit more credit than he has right now. Not credit in terms of credit, credit in terms of, you know, when he goes out to go sell himself again, which is what's going to happen. Because remember, in ratings, by the way, if you look at pure ratings, Stephen Colbert was often number one, was typically number one. However, on YouTube, Jimmy Fallon destroys Stephen Colbert. Destroys him. So new media had turned really away from Stephen Colbert and had turned. So he needs that content to start spiking. There's all kinds of motives that could go into this. What I don't like is that he's playing a victim card. It's something that we all are very well aware of, which is the equal time rules. I don't think I even agree with the equal time rules in 2026, but I don't pretend they don't exist or that I've never heard about them before or that this is the first time the FCC has gotten involved. Give me a break.
And here's how you know they knew this game would be played out and they would win it. And it's not just the 5.8 million views that they've gotten since they published it. It's these comments that are beneath it. I'm watching this because my government tried to hide this from me. Dear FCC, thank you for bringing this to my attention. I wouldn't have seen it otherwise.
Right.
The FCC doesn't want you to see this. Let that sink in and share it. The fact that those are the comments means their distortion of the truth of saying the FCC doesn't want you to see it. No, the FCC just has a rule that may be outdated, and you can litigate that in the public eye, but you can't sit here and say, Donald Trump doesn't want you to see me. He's afraid we're going to flip Texas. That's also saying that Donald Trump just wants Jasmine Crockett to have more airtime. It's the most absurd argument when we know what the reality is.
Is not having Jasmine Crockett on and not making that invite, shouldn't that be looked at from a very different point of view, by the way, that you specifically don't want to fulfill the obligation to have the other Democrat candidate running who happens to be Jasmine Crockett? I think that that should be a lot very telling for mainstream media of what they want to present to you. Okay, let's look really closely at what we're talking about here.
Well, in reality, that's exactly what the reason of the equal time rule was, is so that people who had a giant platform couldn't pick and choose who you got to see, be the gatekeeper of the candidates. And Jordan, this is almost proving something that we aren't a big fan of, the equal time rule, proving the need for it for people like Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, I mean, now my question is, I haven't looked it up on YouTube. Did more people watch on YouTube than watch his show?
I'd say 100%.
7.8 million have watched that interview.
I'd say he averages about 2.5 million.
So three million more people watched it by not being on the air.
Exactly. It's all marketing.
So and the CBS had no problem with that.
Well, yeah, because the equal time rule only applies to
broadcast,
to terrestrial over the air broadcast.
Do you think he could face more discipline, any kind of disciplinary action from CBS at this point?
Well, he's going very hard against the network.
In his monologue, he took their statement, which said, we gave him options, and he said, here's what I think about this, and threw it in the trash can. As Logan said, maybe he's also trying to exit his contract early.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to get out early or just build some clout to,
spin it into something
for
else.
MS, what do they call it now? To give
MS
him
now?
For someone to give him a sweet offer, which I'm sure he's going to get, by the way. You know, he's a talented guy. He's a good broadcaster. But these are the moments where I think that I wish the American people would see through the noise and realize that you're just being marketed to and lied to. It has nothing to do with the politics of it. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with this person running. It has to do with drumming up YouTube views. So he has more clout to go sell his show when his wraps up in 3 months. I see things a little bit differently. And also pretending that these laws haven't existed forever and that you've had to deal with them before. Okay, I guarantee you have. He just didn't want to see Jasmine Crockett or maybe Ted Cruz. Didn't want to see those people showing up on his show. How dare they? Always, always in the cards. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We'd love to take your calls in the next segment. 1-800-684-3110. Get on hold right now.
Welcome to the all-new ACLJ app. Expert analysis and insight big tech can't censor. Customize your news and get real-time alerts on the issues you care about. Advocacy is now at your fingertips. Take action, make a difference. Support the causes you care about with just one tap. Be the first to know. Breaking news alerts sent straight to your inbox. Everything you need, all in one place. Stay informed, stay empowered, download today.
We are so excited to announce the ACLJ's brand new app, completely redesigned to provide you with the best tools available to partner with us at the ACLJ. You can watch the daily Seculo program, sign the petitions, customize your ACLJ membership experience, donate with the click of a button, and receive up-to-the-minute critical updates that the mainstream media can't censor. Just scan the QR code on your screen or go to your phone's app store, search ACLJ, and click install. It's that simple.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secular, last segment of the day. We'd love to hear from you. We've still got a few lines open at 1-800-684-3110. For those of us joining on YouTube or on Rumble, you know, a great way to get involved. Of course, if you haven't subscribed, subscribe. But even just in the chat, let me know where you're watching from. If you don't know what to comment or don't know what to say, I always love to read where people are watching, because what's really great, and we start talking about these lawsuits with CNN and defamation, is because of independent media like ourselves, we're able to reach the entire planet for the most part. As long as your country allows YouTube or Rumble or ACLJ.org, you're able to see our show. And it's really been amazing to reach, you know, all the corners of the world, and it's been amazing. There are a lot of calls coming in. We will take some of them at 1-800-684-3110. We have a call coming in, Ronald, South Carolina, watching on Rumble. Ronald, go ahead, because I think this is an interesting question related to our case with CNN.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. And this is if the Supreme Court sides with those who have been victimized with defamation and stuff like that, does that mean that the church that Don Lemon had let's say, stormed, would they be eligible to sue for damages?
Well, and Jordan, I'll toss to you on this as well, but with Don Lemon actually being charged under the FACE Act, there's a civil path for that as well. So it wouldn't even have to be a malice question there, because he's being charged under the FACE Act. But I see the point.
It's a different charge. I mean, Don Lemon doesn't really have a counter to "I was defamed because of how I was presenting it." His argument in court is the charges they're bringing against me don't work because I'm a journalist. So he's got a different kind of defense. So it's a different situation. These are situations where you've got so-called news being reported about someone, and that is incorrect news. It is and you know, and it can be refuted. And oftentimes they will write somewhere in their news, you know, some back pages of the paper or some random comment on TV that they got that wrong, but they do it at a time where people don't really ever see it. If they even go that far, because of the protection of New York Times versus Sullivan, what this would force newsrooms to do is really get their facts straight and make sure their headlines aren't misleading either. Because we see a lot of misleading headlines about people now, and when you read the actual story, it doesn't match the headline, so to speak. And so that alone could become defamation, but for this standard, which would mean that you have to prove that the person that wrote that headline either knew that they were writing a false headline or didn't care. They had reckless disregard. It's very tough to prove what's inside someone's head because there might not be a lot of evidence on it. They might not have written a bunch of emails back and forth or phone calls or texts saying, "I'm going to do this even though I know it's not true." So you've got to get inside their mind. So they basically made a standard that makes it nearly impossible for anyone who considered a public figure to bring these kind of cases, even when they have been defamed, as the lower courts have acknowledged with Professor Dershowitz. They say he was defamed, but there's no action the court can take right now under the current case law from the Supreme Court under New York Times versus Sullivan because of the actual malice standard.
Well, and here's the kind of absurdity of this entire thing when you even dig down a little bit deeper into what CNN actually did. They created a false legal doctrine claiming it was the Dershowitz doctrine based off what they said that he said on the Senate floor in the well of the Senate, by clipping out a portion of his presentation before the Senate, but leaving the qualifier out of it. So basically him giving a if this, then this scenario, they clipped part of it out and played that not just one time, but repeatedly over the course of many different broadcasts, and called it the Dershowitz Doctrine, which was in fact the opposite of what he was saying. So now, when you think about a world that we live in now, say when New York Times v. Sullivan happened, you didn't have instant rewinds and broadcasts that were archived on places like C-SPAN.org that you could go back and watch. It wasn't as readily available for the public to go fact check themselves if what they're saying is true. And maybe you could even give them the benefit of the doubt that they misheard it when they reported it. So, okay, I understand giving someone that doesn't have all the modern tools the ability that maybe they made a mistake in reporting, maybe they weren't very good at what they were trying to do, their job. You don't have those excuses anymore that a journalist was just incompetent.
No, especially because when you're writing headlines.
And when the news organization repeats it over and over and over again, they have the ability to get it right. And the public has the ability to view the source material and see that you are correct or wrong. So just in and of itself, the fact that the world has changed like that and what CNN did, that this shouldn't apply. This should be something where you don't even have to read their mind. They defamed the individual here because they could have proven themselves wrong very easily, and they didn't do it. So once again, that's why something like New York Times v. Sullivan needs to be reassessed in this current day and age. It needs to be reassessed, and that's exactly what we are doing at the Supreme Court with this cert petition. And now that the court, obviously, when it was going to conference, thought, this is serious enough, we need to hear what CNN has to say. We never know if they're going to take the case or not, but at least they are saying, we got to hear what the other person says.
All right, let's take the last call of the day. Let's go to Bill in Wyoming about the Colbert situation. Bill, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Actually, I want to combine two things. First of all, is the fact that with these late night TV shows, they can actually make their own political statements, but if they disguise it under comedy, then they can get away with it. Number two, if it's controversial, what they can do is they can put it online so that it's controversial, and then people will click on it, so that's what's called clickbaiting, and they can make money out of it.
We just kind of said that the YouTube... When they posted the interview to YouTube, more people saw it on YouTube than would have seen the interview if it was only on The Colbert Show. Yeah. By about at least 3 million more people saw it on YouTube.
That is true for television in general right now.
Right.
So not just related to this moment, Stephen Colbert. A lot of what they say, Jimmy Fallon kills it, because Jimmy Fallon has actually always been in the business of 7 to 8 minute content from Saturday Night Live. And then, of course, that they were the king of clips. Same thing. Many more people watch Saturday Night Live now on YouTube the day after than watch it live in the moment. It's just the world we live in. More people watch this show. 98% of you watching right now are not watching me live.
Yeah.
You're watching this show at your own decision. You don't miss shows anymore.
One segment because you're not as interested in that topic, but you're interested in a topic that's coming up, and you go back and forth to it throughout the day.
And we can see that, by the way, when you're like, skip forward, we can see where the dips are. So we know. Look, we're able to monitor. That's interesting, you know, analytical data we're able to get. That being said, I hope you enjoyed the show today. We only have a minute left. We appreciate it. There is a great way to get involved in that lawsuit, and that is, of course, to sign our petition at aclj.org/sign. We filed, you know, in that critical defamation case, the Supreme Court. CNN tried to ignore it, but yesterday they said, nope. Supreme Court said, you have to respond, ordered CNN to respond. They are taking this case very seriously, and you need to be involved in it right now. We're preparing our next Supreme Court brief, and you can get attached to it. That's by going to aclj.org/sign. Again, not asking you for financial support, just asking you to sign the petition right now. Of course, all the ACLJ content is available for free at aclj.org because of people's financial support. No paywalls there. All of it's available absolutely for you to take it, send it to your friends. No worrying about, oh man, the little pop-up's going to come up and say I have to be a subscriber. Not at aclj.org. We're not going to annoy you with that. Go to aclj.org right now. Sign that petition. Of course, if you can support, it's a great way to do it is become an ACLJ champion, someone that gives on a monthly basis. Check out all the great options at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Seculum.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.